Well, after a disgracefully long absence, I'm finally back in my study with a decent set of recording equipment, which explains why this blogcast has been rather silent for the last 3 months. Apologies for that, folks, but I've tried recording while I've been away. I had to do a podcast for Yachting Monthly every month, and I sort of managed to scramble something out by squawking into my iPad, but the results sounded rather as though I was talking from the bottom of a public toilet bowl, so I really didn't feel I should inflict this upon readers, so that's best forgotten, and here we are, back home at last. The trip this summer went from Beaulieu on the south coast of England up to Turku in Finland, which involved a 3,000-mile traverse of northern Europe, including the typical horror show of the German Bight. And it was a very interesting trip, because what we found was, the really notable thing as we made this passage, was that there were surprisingly few British yachts that far afield. We found a number in Holland, and the further up Holland we got, the less there were, because we went into Holland on the way up and sailed through the IJsselmeer and popped out again into the North Sea on the Frisian Islands, just up by the German Bight, and then along the North Frisian coast, through the Kiel Canal, into the Baltic, past the east end of Denmark, and then on up to Sweden, then right round the Swedish coast inside Öland and into the Stockholm Archipelago, thence on to the Finnish archipelago, past the Åland Island, and finally up to Turku. Now, as we moved into the Baltic, the British yachts thinned out to non-existence, and the whole time we were in the Baltic Sea, we saw only about half a dozen Brits, which was interesting, and I don't know why that was, really, because it's such a nice place, and it is not that far away. There were lots of Germans, of course, but even they thinned out as we went north of Stockholm. We didn't see many Germans once we got north of Kalmar, and none at all in Finland. The Finns and the Swedes move around between each other's archipelagos and have a look. I can understand why the Finns go to Stockholm, and because it is so beautiful. The Swedish archipelago is absolutely lovely, lovely place to sail. The Finnish one is, some people like it, but I've got to say that as a sailing ground, I prefer the Swedish. The Finnish archipelago is a bit sort of bigger, and it's very shallow a lot of the time. It's also very interesting to navigate, because the Finns have more rocks, I think, per square mile than the rest of the world put together, and it's impossible to go cruising in Finland with any degree of adventure at all and never hit a rock. We did well this year. We bumped very, very few, and none of them hard, so that was fine. But things have been different in the past. However, so long as you stay on the transits that the authorities set up, you're absolutely guaranteed the amount of water that it says on the chart you're going to get, which is very reassuring, but that's only good so long as you stay on the transits, and you really want to get off them and go to exciting places. So that was how it was, and as I mentioned, we got away with it this year. Now, why did we go to Finland? The reason is this: we like to have some purpose for a cruise that we make. It's not enough just to go somewhere to have a look at it. Sometimes, if the wonders of the Lord are exceptional, like Greenland last summer, you've got to go because you've just got to be there. But these are extraordinary places. If we're going somewhere more mundane, like the Finnish archipelagos, it's nice to have a reason. And our reason this time was to research our first real cruising boat, in which Ros and I went to South America in 1973, I think it was, with no money and a lot of hope. That trip worked out well, and the boat was remarkable. She'd been built, so it was said, in Abu in Finland, which is now called Turku. I think it's the second city in Finland, or certainly the second port. Now, the boatyard where she was built was supposed to have burnt down, and with it all the records. Well, that happens to lots of boatyards sometimes, I suspect, because they want the insurance money. But this is what had happened up there, whether for the insurance or what. Probably not, I'm sure. But we needed to find that out, and find out more about the boat, because when we sold her, she just sailed away from us, and we never saw her again, we never heard from her, and all the writing that I've done about her over the years has not brought a single sniff of her out of the woodpile. It's as if she'd never existed. I'm sure if she'd come to grief we would have heard. She's just gone, and we can't understand that. So we didn't know where she'd gone, but at least we perhaps could find out where she came from. Her origins in Turku were all documented in Lloyd's, and it appeared to be official. But when we got up there, we found that the boatyard hadn't burned down at all, and that there were records, and that our boat Sari, S-A-A-R-I, was not built by Abu Batvav in 1920 or at any other time. She was a Colin Archer design, without any shadow of a doubt, and her build quality was Colin Archer's build system. She could have been built by him in his yard in southern Norway, but there was no proof of that either. The one thing certain was that she hadn't been built at this yard in Finland. However, we did find that there was one pilot cutter, and pilot cutter she probably was, that was operating in Turku in the years before World War II, and it was called Hapu Sari, which means the island of Hapu. And she, apparently, had disappeared just before the war. She'd gone up to the Karelia on the Russian border and had never been heard of again. Well, what happened to her? And where did Sari come from? Well, at the moment, we're pursuing a theory that maybe she'd been bought by an Englishman and brought back to Britain just before the war, and had been renamed Sari, because who wants a boat called Hapu Sari in England? Nobody would know what that meant. And he'd probably just chop the name off. If that were the case, this would be the missing pilot boat from the southern end of the Gulf of Bothnia. And it would be a great, wonderful story. But we don't know. So we got to find that out. So that was the purpose of the trip. That was what we got out of it. All we found out was that the boat wasn't what they said she was. But we made a fine voyage of it, and we had a grand trip home. We found, as we found last time, that Sweden is one of the loveliest places to sail in God's creation, and is not expensive. It really is not. Berthing is half the price of what it would be in Britain. Wine is probably 10 or 15% more expensive. Foods, well, maybe about the same, but that's not so bad, and you can get everything you want. The islands are sensational, and Nordic beauties turn up in the mists of the morning and sell you bread that they've baked themselves to their old granny's recipe. And the bread lasts for days and days and days. Those girls know how to do it. What a place. Absolutely wonderful. There's not many fish in the Baltic. They sell you them. I don't know where they get them from. But so it was. And we came home via Holland again, because it was blowing hard from the west. I didn't think we were ever going to get out of the German bite. But we had a wonderful time in Holland, coming home, in flat water, sailing in shelter. And in due course, we popped out right at the bottom at Vlissingen, or Flushing to you, and sailed home down the English Channel to a grand welcome, and to see our child again and everything else. So things were pretty good, really. We've had a grand summer. I hope you have too. And there'll be more from me a lot sooner than there was last time. Fair winds.